All right. In this passage, we're going to be looking at two men. You've already looked at these two men. And as you already know, these are not two ordinary men. These are two men who are the first of their kind, two men who set the course for all who come after them. Now, so far in this letter to the Romans, Paul has walked us through the reign of sin over all mankind and the good news of justification by grace through faith in Christ alone. Last week, we looked at the implications of God's grace in Jesus Christ and how the gospel leads us to rejoice. In fact, the benefits that we have in Christ are much more than our transgressions. In this passage, we continue with this theme as we see the power of the gospel to change the fate of humanity, a fate that goes back all the way back to the first man. And we'll see that sin and death reigned in the first man, Adam, but grace and life reign in Jesus Christ. So first, Paul establishes that through Adam came sin and death to all mankind. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." This is a pretty logical layout of Paul's first point, and it's actually a great summary of the first five chapters of Genesis. The one man is the first man, Adam. In fact, the name Adam literally means man. But Adam disobeyed and sinned against God. Because of this, death was the consequence, not only for Adam, but for all of humanity, because all come from Adam. This becomes quite apparent in Genesis 4 and 5 in particular, which chronicles what happens after Adam and Eve are kicked out of the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 4, we see that Adam's son Cain kills his brother Abel due to jealousy. This is the first human death, and it is a horrific murder that shows how sin has permeated the human heart and ushered in death. This becomes even more evident in Genesis 5, where it lists the descendants of Adam. The refrain we see over and over again in Genesis 5 is this phrase, "And he died, and he died, and he died." I couldn't fit all of them on this slide because there were so many of them. That is the nature of humanity that we are all born into. Sin and death reign in Adam. And in Romans 5, 13 to 14, it shows that sin and death indeed reigned in humanity even before the law was given through Moses. Just because "do not murder" had not yet been etched in stone, it did not excuse Cain from murdering his brother. The same is true for all the ways in which mankind fell short of God's glory before the law was explicitly given. Adam, being the first man, became the representative for all of humanity. And when Adam sinned, it established the reign of sin and death upon all of humanity. It's not just our individual sin that makes us guilty. It is that we are all in Adam, the one man who represents us all. But thankfully, in Adam is not the end of the story. The end of verse 14 tells us that Adam was a type of the one who was to come. There is another man, another Adam, and he is not like the first man. He is much more. That leads us to the second section, verses 15 to 17. Verse 15 pivots us again to the good news, what Paul refers to as the free gift, which is not earned but given to us by Christ. He writes, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. If many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." It's a big Paul sentence there. Adam was the one man, but there was another one man, Jesus Christ. And the free gift of grace in Jesus Christ is not like the trespass, because it is much more powerful than that which came through Adam. Now, we've already seen this phrase much more earlier in chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. there much more emphasizes the assurance of salvation we have in Christ Jesus, because Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Here in verses 15 through 17, much more points to the abundance of grace and life in Christ over the sin and death in Adam. So let's take a look at the ways the free gift is much more than the trespass. First, in verse 16, we see the difference in the result. In Adam, one trespass brought judgment and condemnation to all of mankind. But justification by faith, the free gift, is applied not just to one trespass. God's grace in Christ is called the free gift following many trespasses. From Adam to Moses and beyond, all the sins accumulated through the years, the free gift of God is enough to cover it all and bring about justification to those who place their faith in Christ. That is how much more the grace of Jesus Christ is. Furthermore, in verse 17, we see that in Christ, life reigns much more than death. In Adam, sin and death ruled our lives. There's no escaping our nature in Adam. And then he died was to be our end, just as it was for those in Genesis 5. But in Christ, and I love the way that Paul reiterates this description of those in Christ, okay? Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. If by faith you have received this abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness through the one man, Jesus Christ, then you are no longer in Adam, but in Christ. Jesus Christ has triumphed over sin and death. And so something else rules your life now. It's not sin and death, it's grace. And God's grace is much more than our sin. In the last section of this passage, Paul draws out the comparison of being in Adam versus being in Christ, using the as-so device. So we'll take a look at all the as-sos. In verse 18, he writes, "As one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." We have one trespass compared to one act of righteousness. Adam's sin versus Jesus's righteousness. Being in Adam means having a sin nature that leads to condemnation. But being in Christ means that we are covered by Christ's righteousness, which leads to justification and life. And as we've seen throughout the book of Romans so far, and certainly with this term for all men, this is true for all people. Whatever your background or spiritual heritage, you're either in Adam or in Christ. Paul continues in verse 19. "For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." Here we have one man's disobedience compared with one man's obedience. Now, when you think about how each man was called to obey, the comparison becomes even more pronounced. How was Adam called to obey? Adam was created by God, first of all, and given the mandate to be fruitful and multiply and rule the earth as a representative of God. Doesn't sound like too bad of a command, right? He was told he could eat of every tree of the garden except for that one. But in this, Adam disobeyed God and brought about sin and death to all mankind. Jesus, on the other hand, was in very nature God, not created, but eternally existing. And yet Philippians 2:8 tells us that being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus's obedience was great and costly. In his humanity, he did not sin, but was perfectly obedient to the Father. And it is by his humanity and his righteousness that we can be made right before God. Next, in verse 20, it compares the increase of sin with the increase of grace. As sin increases, so does the amount of grace required to cover it. That makes sense, right? But here's the cool thing. It's not just a proportional increase, as though God has just enough grace to cover whatever sin comes up. No, as grace increased, what does it say? Grace abounded all the more. When you think about the sin in your own heart, let alone the magnitude of the sin of all of humanity across all of time, this puts into perspective the greatness of God's grace, which is sufficient and abundant for all of it. There is no limit to the grace of God, and knowing the depths of our sin only illuminates the height of God's love and grace. God's grace is truly amazing. This is the reason that Paul writes in verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you are in Christ, my friends, sin and death no longer reign in your life, not now and not for eternity. You see, the grace and life that is in Christ doesn't just cancel out the sin and death that we have through Adam. It completely usurps its reign. In Christ, we may struggle with sin, but sin no longer rules over us. Grace rules over our lives. And we may face physical death, but in Christ, that death is only temporary. For by grace, we are declared righteous, and eternal life in Christ awaits us. So, are you in Adam or are you in Christ? The difference is clear. Sin and death reign in Adam, but grace and life reign in Christ. And there cannot be two rulers in your life. Only one will reign. I think that in a group like ours, more than likely most of us are in Christ, but we can struggle and be tempted to live as though we are still in Adam. We believe the lies that we are bound to sin and that death hangs over us. If the echoes of sin and death, like guilt, shame, temptation, still surround you, let me encourage you, sisters. In Christ, those no longer have reign over you. In Christ, you are under grace. You have been given a righteousness not your own, and the grace of Christ and the life in Christ are now yours. And did you notice throughout this passage that Paul is writing to the church, mind you, that all the consequences of being in Adam are stated in the past tense, while all the benefits of Christ are in the future? When we were in Adam, sin and death did reign, but no more. If you are in Christ, justification has been finished. Grace and life now reign and will reign into eternity. So if you are living as though sin and death still rule, look to Christ, who has paid it all on your behalf. If you feel the heaviness of sin and death still weighing on you, let this passage encourage you that in Christ, grace and life now reign. And let us exalt Christ Jesus in our lives because he is more than our sin. Let us be witnesses to those who are still in Adam. Jesus has conquered sin and death. This is good news. In Christ, we have been given an abundance of grace so that even if we stumble and wrestle along the way, his grace is not only enough, but it abounds for us. He who saved us by his grace will sustain us by his grace from now until we are with him in eternal life. In Christ, grace and life reign. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that in Christ, life and grace reign in our lives. And we look forward to the day when that will be fully realized in your presence. But as we live this life that you've given us now in Christ, I pray that you would encourage our hearts to live out the identity that you've given us. We thank you, God, that where we fell so short, you were more than enough. We thank you that because of Christ, because of his obedience and his righteousness and his grace to us, that we can now live not in Adam under the reign of sin and death, but we can now live under grace and life. So as we go from here, I pray that you would be with us. Help us to live out a life that is in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.